Hey there, and welcome to Off Curve. I am Wicked Good, and I am talking to you as I am driving home from the train station. And it is December 6th, 2017. I know the date today because the date tomorrow is December 7th, 2017. And that is the day that Kobolds and Catacombs comes out, and I could not be more excited. This is like, I don't celebrate Christmas, but I feel like this is probably what Christmas Eve feels like. Hanukkah's not quite the same. So I've always kind of wondered what Christmas Eve feels like, and this is kind of as close as I get. So, quick recap on my ladder this week. My goal generally before a new expansion comes out is that I want to try to get to 10. Ideally, I'd like to get to 5, but that's not always realistic. I'll probably try tonight anyway, just because that's how I am. But I did get to 10, like, the second or the third. I think it was the third, with mostly Big Priest. I just kind of went back to my roots. It turned out that for that 15 to 10 meta where everybody was playing Rogue, it was really good. And then I got into the 10 to 5 meta early in the month, where the one trend that you see as you climb up the ladder when you're playing against the better players, who are more confident with it, that you'll see a lot more Highlander Priest on ladder. So it's hard to beat Raza on 5 and Anduin on 8 with a Big Priest. And you get people playing Quest Mages too, which is not fun. So that kind of fizzled out, and then I've been trying a few things. Went back to 9. I went as high as, I think, 8-3 stars or something like that. Lost a bunch. And honestly, it's been really kind of a long couple days in between work and recording the card review that went up yesterday. The first part with Andrew over at Happy Hearthstone, where we got through like 45 cards. So we still have 90 to go. But that ended up going like past midnight my time. I was kidding. If you listen to it, you can kind of tell when I was starting to get a little punchy. But it is really good, and I hope you do go listen to that, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So I haven't really had a whole lot of time to ladder, and I've mostly been focusing on clearing out quests just because I want to have as much gold as possible. But I'm at 9. I'm going to try to grind a little bit more Murloc Paladin because I have a Murloc quest to clear out. So that's... that's pretty much where I want to be. If I'm somewhere between 5 and 10, and I'm just not, like, trying to do that 15 to 10 grind while trying out a whole new decks and dealing with an unstable meta, then I'm pretty happy with that. Also, I want to point you to, I was included in a roundup over at HearthstoneTopDecks.com, which is my preferred site for getting deck lists and stuff like that. And they've been really good with rounding up all the cards and posting them as they got released. So they invited me to contribute to a roundup of what the cards that various content creators are excited for. And so I contributed a piece on Leyline Manipulator, which if you listen to the card reveal with Andrew, you know that I am extremely, extremely excited for. So, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later too. But, go listen to that. I was really honored to be included in something like that. It was pretty cool. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast from the first time because of that, welcome. And I hope that I'm glad that you enjoyed what I put there. And hopefully you will enjoy the rest of what I have today. So I have a couple things. I'm not going to go into cards, obviously, because, if you listen to me and Andrew, You're done with that, right? You've got plenty of content there. But I have a couple things related to the expansion right before it comes to release. And I've also got some questions that I want to answer. So let's get right into that. So before we get into the questions, one thing that I want to talk about has kind of been on my mind lately that I really haven't heard anybody else talking about. And I got into a bit of a discussion. I don't want to go so far as say argument because Blister Guy and I don't argue. We debate. sometimes vigorously, but we debate. But we got into a discussion about Dungeon Run. And one sentiment that I've been seeing, there was an announcement today as the patch went live that there are going to be quests, both in terms of you know, when you beat your first X number of bosses in Dungeon Run, as well as there's going to be a daily quest for beating X number of bosses in Dungeon Run. But we didn't know that as of yesterday when this discussion happened. And I've been seeing a lot of sentiment, and I'm sure that some of this kind of spills over from the Hearthstone subreddit, which I try to avoid as much as possible, about, like, if there were going to be quests for Dungeon Run to, quote-unquote, give a reason to play it. And, you know, part of this just does not compute for me. Again, I'm a long-time Diablo fan. Like, I've bought Diablo 3 on... Like, Diablo 3 and its expansion, I both bought at full price twice, once on PC and once on console, so that my wife and I could play together. And both on PS3 and PS4, by the way. So, you know, I bought it a few times. And, you know, a roguelike in a card game is like a peanut butter cup for me, right? Like, I am super excited, and watching the reveal stream with Day9, and if you haven't, you should, just for the entertainment value. It really, like, got me psyched for it. But I got this, you know, got into the discussion about, well, why do you need a reason, right? Like, fun is the reason. Like, if you watch those videos, I'm just so excited to play it, I don't care. Like, you do not need to give me packs to get me to go into Dungeon Run. And I understand that I'm not the only opinion there, and Hearthstone has kind of conditioned us to play different modes by hanging kind of shiny objects at the end of a fishing pole, and I get that. But, you know, I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand what Dungeon Run is there for. Like, yes, Dungeon Run is a fun new single-player mode for us, and we will enjoy it, right? Like, maybe it's not your thing, maybe it is. Maybe it's the kind of thing that if you want to play Hearthstone, but you're clearly not in a place where you should be laddering, like, because you're tilted or whatever, it's a good place for you to reset and just go in and blow off some steam. Or maybe it's just something you play once you get your packs and you get out and you never do it again, right? And that's all fine. I think the important thing to recognize about Dungeon Run is that Dungeon Run is not for players like us. Which is not to say that we won't enjoy it, but I think it's important to realize that Hearthstone needs to have an influx of new players, and there's not really been a good reason for somebody who is not already inclined to play card games to start Hearthstone since pretty much the phone client came out. A standard rotation is not going to be enticing for somebody who's tried it before or not, because you're starting from so far back that it doesn't matter if you need less cards to be competitive. It's just, you still need too many cards to care, right? And a lot of the single player, there's a lot of people who get very intimidated by playing against other people online. Like, I was that way when I started. Like, I didn't want to play against other people. I just wanted to kind of play against the Innkeeper and play, like, a single player mode, which is, you know, I got into Curse of Naxxramas when that got introduced. That brought me in for a bit. And then I saw that was going to end pretty quickly and I was done. And I think that there is a group of people who want to play Hearthstone who are not going to play on ladder, right? And this is a way to get them into it. Maybe it's a way to kind of soften the experience, and then they get confident after they play through the Dungeon Run, and then they start playing on ladder, and they start building their own decks, and they play arena runs, and they start getting more into the game, and then they start spending money on it, right? Like, there hasn't been a new player feeder system like that we've seen since the phone client came out. And I think that the other thing to keep in mind as far as drawing interest to the game is that this is going to entice a lot of streamers who don't normally stream Hearthstone to stream Hearthstone. And it's going to introduce their audiences to Hearthstone in a way that Blister Guy talked about, the Elise moment, where you open up a pack from Elise, from the Un'Goro pack, and then, you know, that's a screenshot that you can share and get people excited. I don't think that did that, but I think Dungeon Run will, because I think seeing people have the experience that Day9 did is going to actually bring some people into the game in the way that, like, new cards or any other content isn't. So I think that it's important to remember that if you do or don't get rewarded for Dungeon Run, that may not be the ultimate goal. All right, so I put out a call for questions on Twitter this afternoon. So I got a few, so I want to take some time and answer those. And the first one is from Cream Puff, who, by the way, does the excellent podcast Top Deck Kings that you should be listening to. Especially if you enjoy some of the strategy that I do here, it takes it to another level, and I learn a lot from him on a weekly basis. But so he asked, in your opinion, what will be the best decks to ruin everyone's fun on the way to Legend the first days of this expansion? which, as you all know, my preferred playstyle is not to just win. My preferred playstyle is to make my opponent question all of their life decisions that led them up to that point. So I've been theory crafting a little bit over the last couple days. The one deck that I'm most excited to play that I'm almost certainly going to be playing as soon as I get my packs opened is what I've been affectionately calling Janky Mage, which is kind of a holdover from when I was bored, try to make a deck in Mage that ran Kel'Seth. And I did that, and it actually ended up okay, and then I found there was a pro player who won a Last Hero Standing tournament with a fairly similar list. I was just a couple cards off from what I came up with independently. So I took that shell, and it's basically, if you think about a tempo rogue shell that takes out the class cards and tries to put some mage cards in. And then I went a little bit further with this version, took out the pirate package and Kel'Seth, because I don't think you need them now, and I don't think you really want them. I took out the water elementals that were the 4-drop, and I put in Leyline Manipulators, which I think are honestly one of the best cards in the set. That's the 4/5 for 4 that discounts anything that didn't start in your deck. And then I put in 2 of the Spellstones and 2 Primordial Glyphs, because, you know, why not? And Frostbolts. And I also am running... I'm running basically just like a bunch of elementals is the way that the deck was shaking out anyway. So it runs Pyros. That's the other thing that I put in once I took out Kel'Seth. It runs Steam Surger, which, by the way, is, like I said this last week, is a really good card that just hasn't had support yet, and I really believe in it. I put in Pyros. I have Tar Creepers. I've got Servant of Kalamos. I've got Cobalt Scalebane and you know, Bone Mares and Cairn at the top end. It just plays like a tempo rogue, but with mage cards. But the beauty is that there's so many cards that make other cards, and Leyline Manipulator discounts everything, that you can get something out of a Servant of Kalamos and then just discount it. Or all the, you know, you get your glyph cards get even cheaper, which makes them more broken. You get all the cards out of the Spellstone with all these elementals that you're playing, and then you discount them all by 2. So I'm really excited for this as like a true tempo mage, which we really haven't had since like the Flamewaker days. Like Secret Mage is okay, and it is like a tempo-ish mage, but it doesn't ever really feel like it's a good plan, right? It feels like the kind of deck that you play because it's good for that moment, but it never really feels like it's what you want to be playing, and it kind of goes boom or bust really quick if you don't get the right cards in the right order. This feels a little bit more robust in the games that I've been playing in the old version, and I'm really excited about what the new cards are going to bring to it. And the other thing is that it's not quite a budget deck, because it does have legendaries in it, but it doesn't rely on getting one of the busted legendaries out of the set, which I know that I'm probably not going to get the first day, which I could craft, but I don't really want to craft anything day one. So it lets me have something that I'm going to be excited to play right out of the gate. And, you know, for my luck, that I know I always pick the worst. I end up pulling the worst legendary. Like, I got Benedictus. I got Lakari Sacrifice. Like, it always happens, right? So I'm pretty convinced I'm going to get King Togwoggle, and this is kind of my way of, like, averting my luck. So I looked at... Tice had a Miracle Druid. That the idea was that you draw through your deck with Gadgets and Auctioneer and just power ramp, and then you have, like, 1 or 2 Jade Idols and just get to the point where you're just churning out Jade Idols. And I thought to myself, well, it runs Naturalize. It runs Cold Light Oracles. What if you do that? You take out the Jade Idols, and you just get to the point where you run yourself into fatigue. You naturalize whatever minions have on the board. You play or you play Innervate Cold Light Oracle to fill up their hand, and then you drop Togwoggle, swap decks, which yours is empty, and then burn the ransom. So if I get Togwoggle, that's what I'm going to try, just because if I'm going to be miserable, everyone's going to be miserable. And I think there are some other decks too, but that's what I'm looking to try day one. And before I forget, I should mention that I'm going to have links to those decks over at offcurve.com. I put them up in the deck builder on Hearthstone Top Decks, so you can go see them, and then it's got an import link, all the good stuff. So Sleviticus asks, for success on ladder, what's the strategy to take in the first few days of an expansion? Okay, so I'm going to say this because I feel like I have to. You try to have fun the first few days of the expansion. Like, there is not going to be more deck diversity and more new things to try and more fun things to do than there are in, like, the first week of expansion. I generally try... I don't focus on laddering, like, the first week of an expansion. I usually save that for, like, the last half of the month. But, you know, I understand that, you know, even in the beginning of, you know, experimentation, happy time, you know, there's laddering to be done too, right? So, in general, the way that you ladder in an unstable meta is with an aggro deck. So, if you were to take something like Aggro Druid, I think is probably the one that you would want to look at right now. And it, you know, it may not work, but typically what you're dealing with is you have a very refined deck against some very unrefined decks. And there is always a tendency, and I know this because this is, like, what I like to do, to go for, like, the most greedy control decks at the beginning of the expansion because you just don't know what's good, right? You're just trying stuff out. So if you really want to prey on the ladder, the way you do it is you take an aggro deck that is intended to feast on slower decks, and you hit people in the face. That's what you do. You don't put any new cards in it, or maybe you do one or two if there's an updated list. But if you think about, like, the beginning of a lot of expansions, like Mitru's of Gadgetzan, it was Pyro Warrior, right? Like, you just get Pyro Warrior, you hit people in the face, and that was all you saw for, like, the first week. And to the point where we were yelling for patches to be nerfed, and ultimately, you know, something needed to change, but it was overrepresented that first week because you would try, a lot of people were trying to play these slower decks, and Reno in particular was, you know, really popular because Kazakus was a thing, and then you were just hitting people in the face and winning. So that's really what you do if you want to rank up. I would say, please do try to have fun. Like, don't, there's always going to be time for hitting people in the face, right? Do try to have some fun before some of that fun gets taken away by the meta settling into the best decks. You know what I mean? So Junkster asks, did you budget out how much you're going to spend on additional packs for this expansion? I don't typically. I buy the pre-order always because it's the best deal. It may be just too late depending on when you're listening to this, but you have until like midnight Wednesday to get your pre-order in if you haven't, because it's a good deal. Like, 50 packs for $50, normally it's 40 packs for $50. So, and I budget that like my, you know, my console game that I would have bought otherwise if I wasn't spending all my time playing Hearthstone, right? So I don't mind spending that money and supporting Team 5 and what they're doing. So anyway, that out of the way, I normally will just go and just open those packs. I may put in for another $20. Just because, you know, if you've been following Happy Hearthstone, one of the things that Andrew's been doing is, you know, compensating me for my time as part of the Patreon and being able to keep that deal going. And it's, you know, you can see how much he's making. It's not a ton of money, but, it's a little bit for me to, you know, put in for a few extra packs to help get a head start. So I may do that this time around, just put that money back into the game so that I can try more decks out, so that I can, make more content for you all. And you know, selfishly have more cards to play with. but that I don't, that's probably going to be it, right? Then after that, I just grind gold. I'll probably play some Arena. I do enjoy Arena in a new meta. I go back to my roots. Like, I used to grind Arena a lot when I was free to play, and I don't do that as much anymore, but I do still enjoy Arena, and I enjoy, like, trying out some of the cards that I'm not going to get to play in a constructed deck. So, but yeah, maybe 20 packs after that, and then, or 15 packs after that, and then probably just, unless somebody gets me a lovely gift for the holidays, that'll probably be it, and I'll just grind gold, and, you know, I'll turn my dust into stuff if I need to. And I should add that I have, like, you know, it's probably gonna be somewhere around 5,500 gold, so it looks like I'll probably be opening for sure. You get the 53 packs with the Tavern Brawls, you get another 3, with some of the initial rewards, and then the 3 from Dungeon Run, so that's 59 and 55, so I'm probably opening like 110, 115 packs. That's pretty good, you know, I'll, and then maybe another 15 on top of that, so we'll see how that goes. ATLDS sent in a question, not specifically related to the expansion, but just more in general. Do you think there's such a thing as a morning meta and a night meta and a late night meta? I tend to drop really fast at night, but I usually climb well during lunch with the same deck. So there absolutely are time of day differences in when you're laddering. I will often play a few games while I'm getting ready for work. Often before I've had my ADD meds, which is, as Blister Guy could tell you, because he was observing me one day attempting to play Tempo Rogue before I'd had my meds, is generally not a great idea. But I do it anyway. But yeah, though I find very often the same thing, that I will play at lunch and I'll play in the morning and before I leave for work, and I will do much better than I do at night. And you can kind of puzzle this one out, right? When you're playing in the morning, like early in the morning, or you're playing at lunchtime, you're playing against other people who are like me, trying to get a game in on their phone while they're at lunch, possibly having conversations, possibly being interrupted by people who are coming over to say hi, or, you know, ask about a work-related question because they happen to see you in the cafeteria, something like that. And, you know, though, that is not when you're playing your most focused Hearthstone, and I would argue that a lot of people are playing that way at that time of day specifically. Same thing in the morning. You're getting a lot of people who are doing it, like, while they're getting ready for work like I am, or they've stayed up all night and they're tired because they've been up all night, and it's morning for, you know, people with day jobs like me, but maybe that's, you know, their nighttime, and they're tired and they're not making the best decisions at the end of the day, right? So, and I mean, you do get, I have run into like some EU players on either that time of day too, because they'll just play their, you know, afternoon, whatever. But yes, if you are playing in those times, you will generally find a softer meta, because most of the people who are like me will be spending most of their time playing at night, and that's when they can play focused, right? Like, if you think about how you're playing your best Hearthstone, it may or may not be on your phone, but it's certainly when you're not just trying to squeeze in a game at work, when you're trying to get it, you know, as quickly as possible before you have to go back to a meeting or whatever. Like, you may be rushing out turns, you may be, you know, just trying to get the game in, but you've got other things going on, you're not quite paying attention, maybe people are trying to come up to you while you're in the game and you can't quite explain to them that, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now, I'm playing a video game on my phone and it's very important and more important than the conversation you're trying to have with me. That's not a conversation that goes over very well in an environment that does not really understand what the hell Hearthstone is to begin with. So, so it's a long way of saying yes. You should expect that if you're laddering in the evening, it's going to be more challenging. You should expect that if you're having success with a deck, you know, on a lunch break, that may not carry over to your evening laddering. It may, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but yes, the meta is definitely more difficult and more try-hardy in the evenings, in my experience as well. And I believe that there's been some science that's been done around this, but I don't have the statistics in front of me. But I do believe that that is a thing. All right, so that's probably a longer episode than usual. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to get into the new set. I may try to find some time to stream, though. I know that I'm recording the rest of the card review with Andrew this weekend, so that may limit my time to stream, but I do have some vacation time coming up, so hopefully that will work out. I just want to say, before I sign off here, that, you know, those of you, it's been a really great 6 months since I started doing this show, and started, you know, doing Hearthstone content creation, and I really just want to say, honestly, like, thank you to every single one of you who has, you know, just subscribe to the show and is willing to listen to me every week. Those of you who've, you know, friended me on Battle.net, who've offered me 80 gold quests, not that I expect that from anybody, but it you know, I definitely do appreciate it. You know, anyone who's left a review on iTunes, anybody who's just, you know, sent a nice message in Discord or on Twitter and told me how much they're liking the show. Like, it those are the kinds of things that content creators subsist on, really. And I've been really fortunate at the response to the show over the last few months. And I really do want to say a genuine thank you to all of you for supporting the show, for telling people about it, for, you know, just reaching out and saying how much you like it. It really does mean a lot. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, honestly. So that said, I have something ridiculously special planned for next week. Hopefully it works out. And I'm looking very forward to that. And I'm sure that you will too. In the meantime, you can make sure to get in touch, or you can follow the show in other ways. You can, of course, find the show notes over at offcurve.com. You can follow the show's account at offcurve on Twitter. That will tell you just when the new show notes are up, and you know, any other important show announcements, if that's all you want. If you want all of my nonsense and all of my screaming and injustices and everything else that goes on my personal Twitter account, you can find that over at Wicked Good. My Twitch is Wicked Good FM, and like I said, I'm hoping to get some streaming in soon, TM. So we will see how that works. And again, if you want to go leave a review on iTunes, that's the primary way that most people end up finding new shows, to kind of surface when you search on Hearthstone, and that's something that helps out a lot. So if you were willing to take the time to do that, I always super appreciate that. You can also send me a friend request on Battle.net. My gamer tag is WickedGood #1535. Please do let me know on Twitter or in one of the Discords that you've sent me a request, so that I can make sure to accept it, because there were a couple that I had to reject this week because I wasn't sure, and I'm not up to my limit yet, but I'm getting close. So I want to make sure that if I'm accepting a friend request, it is from a listener and not just like some delayed salty person who's losing to Janky Mage. So, you know, next time I talk to you all, we will be in a new meta, and we will have lots to discuss. So enjoy, good luck in your pack openings, and I love you all, and have a great beginning of the meta. Enjoy it. It doesn't get any better than this, than a new set. So enjoy it as much as you can. Anyway, have a great one. Talk to you next week. Bye.